people and to spend time together and to look at God's Word. I know this is early to celebrate Christmas and to have a Christmas message, but it does help us perhaps to begin to think about how we're going to celebrate Christmas. And so I want us to look at what I'm going to title the first Christmas celebration, but it is a preparation for maybe thinking about what we will do different this year, how we will make Christmas meaningful to us, and to accomplish what, to celebrate what the real meaning of Christmas is. I went to a work party last evening, and with kind of apprehension, knowing that it was definitely not a religious celebration as such. It was a work party, and not the kind of party that definitely honored God, not the kind of party that I would have chosen to go to, but I thought I would at least honor them. Honor them with my presence. But I thought I would at least go and show my support for the company. But I won't go again. It wasn't the kind of... We laughed and had a good time, but I got home and it's like, that certainly wasn't a godly environment and not the way I want to celebrate Christmas for sure at all. But anyway, thinking about how we want to celebrate Christmas and what we want to accomplish and to make this time special, I thought we'd look at one aspect of the Christmas story, the shepherds. But let me begin by saying, have you ever thought about how the weathermen get their forecasts? I mean, did they forecast this much snow, or did I just miss something? In our area, it said under an inch. I think we got three, probably. But anyway, I read this article the other day. It says, in early September, the chief of the Native Indians tribe was asked by the elders to say, is it going to be a cold winter this winter? That was back in 2011. They asked the chief if it was going to be a cold winter. That would determine how much wood they would gather to keep themselves warm. Chief asked his medicine man, and the medicine man, he didn't know either. He said, they just somehow had lost touch with the natural surroundings, and so they decided to use modern technology, and so the chief called the Weather Bureau and thought he would get an official modern opinion, and asked him, he called and asked, and he said, it's going to be a cold winter. So the chief went back to his tribe and told them, he said, gather a lot of wood, it's going to be a cold winter. And of course they did, and a little while later the chief thought he would call again just to make sure, and he called again the weather service and asked him, are you sure it's going to be a cold winter? And he said, yeah, it's going to be a cold winter. So he went back to his people and said, you better gather some more winter wood, the winter is going to be cold. But just before winter started, the chief thought, I better call again and make sure. So he called again the weather and asked him, is it going to be a cold winter this winter like you said? And he said, very cold winter. He began to be curious. He said, well, how do you know it's going to be a cold winter? He said, well, them Native Indians are gathering a lot of wood. Kind of a circular reasoning to determine the weather in case maybe that's what they were looking. I don't know what happened, but truth is that sometimes we repeat things and we look at wrong sources. I wonder if we thought about the Christmas story. We've repeated it so often. You probably have celebrated it ever since you were a little child, and we repeat it so often, but are we sure from the bottom of your heart that it's really true, or is it a story? Like Ken Ham said, we tell these stories over and over again, and they actually begin to be stories. Is it really true, or is it a way that businesses make a lot of money? Which I guess you've heard that if the businesses do not do a certain amount of business over Christmas time, in fact, is it 50% of their business revenue comes from Christmas time, a lot of the retail stores? But I don't know. If it's not true, then we shouldn't be here today, should we? I mean, there's got to be a better cause. If Christmas is not true, we're wasting our time, aren't we? I mean, why spend time here? I mean, on the way down, I often watch on the way down here on Sunday what other people are doing on Sunday. And you often see them fussing around the house or around the, raking leaves or doing something. And you can tell they're probably not going to church. And I think about that and think there's, if it's not true, I should be home doing what they're doing. But what if it's true? What if this story is true that we celebrate Christmas time? What if the story of the shepherds and what if the story of Mary and Joseph is true? Then what we're doing this morning is of utmost importance. It is the thing we should be doing this Christmas season, isn't it? Celebrating the most momentous event in history, God becoming a man. Think with me for a moment, though. Why God became a man? And you'd say, well, I know he came to die for the sins of the world. He came and to provide salvation. Billy Graham tells a story that once he was walking, and I don't think this was about him, but he told the story. He said, walking near my home, I looked down and saw an anthill that had just been crushed by something. And I saw that this very careful, planned home of the ants was destroyed. Many of the ants had been killed, many injured. And he wished for a moment that somehow he could help them. Somehow he could tell them that he wanted to help them. But he realized that there was no way he could explain it to the ants. And so he said, since I had no way of communicating with them, I went on my way. And Billy Graham used it as an illustration to say, you know what? God did not just go on his way. When he looked down at earth and saw mankind as sinners, lost, hopelessly lost, and on their way to hell. God could have looked down and just written it off as it didn't work. My creation didn't work. But God provided a way. He looked down and said, the only way I can fix creation and help mankind is to become a man, and to take on human and to provide the help that they need. John 3:16 is the greatest Christmas story in all of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We could talk about many of the aspects of the Christmas story. You probably have your favorite, don't you? I don't know what your favorite is. One of mine is the shepherds. But there are so many aspects to the story. We could look at all the prophecy that is fulfilled. Can you think of different parts of the Christmas story that are fulfillment of prophecy? What's the big one that comes to mind? That he was born of a virgin. He was born in Bethlehem. All those prophecies we could look at and say, by the way, that's one of the reasons I am a believer today. Because if I look at the Bible and see all of the prophecies that were prophesied, that were foretold 1,000 years ago, some 700, 400 years before it happened, and it happened exactly the way it was foretold to happen, if those events happened accurately, the chances of things in the future happening the way the Bible says, the likelihood of them coming to pass, heaven and hell being true, judgment day being true, the likelihood of that all happening? Absolutely sure. Because history has been so accurate in God's Word. I'm a believer, partly because the history of the Bible has always come true. And I believe that the events in the future will represent the same accuracy as the past. But we could look at God's sovereignty in working each part of the account of Christ coming to earth. Each part of that, getting the young couple to Bethlehem. God's sovereignty over the world to create that census on the right day that got Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. All of God's sovereignty over the world. The reaction of Joseph and Mary, we could talk about that. Their humble obedience in spite of knowing the guff they would take. In fact, even Jesus, remember, received a lot of flack for, they said, the Jews said, well, we're not born of fornication. That shame on that couple followed them their entire life. And there certainly their obedience to the Word of God and following God's plan for their lives is a good example for us. The ministry of angels is tremendous. We could look at that, how God used angels to announce the birth. My wife and I don't know how many years it's been now, we were over in Palestine and stood in the field of the shepherds outside Bethlehem. And we could close our eyes and picture it for a moment, darkness, and all of a sudden the sky bursting with angels announcing the birth of the Christ child. Which brings me to where we want to study today and think about is the shepherd's story and their first celebration of this Christmas ought to be a pattern for us. For the shepherds were not noble people. They were looked down on in their society. They were not allowed to testify in court because they weren't to be trusted. They were dirty, smelly, part of society that was not respected at all. And yet, isn't it interesting that God chose them to make that announcement about the coming of His Christ child? And so their celebration, I think, is a challenge to us today to say, how will you and I celebrate Christmas? Their example of how they celebrated and reacted to the message that Christ was born should be a challenge to us. It's a fine example for us to pattern our celebration after this year. And first of all, I want us to notice that they received the love of God. And I read that, I know that, because look in verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night." And the truth is that they went. They were willing, while they were working, even though they were busy, even though they had their own lives to live, they were caring for sheep. Isn't it interesting that when they got the message that the Christ child was born, they put a priority on that. That even though they were busy with life, the shepherds were working. It was easy to, isn't it easy for us to look at others and say, they have nothing to do all day long. They can get it done. It's like husbands looking at their wives and coming home from work and saying, what'd you do all day? And we kind of think, well, we were out working all day and they didn't have anything to do. They had it easy. It's easy for us to look at others, isn't it? Look at others and think that, well, they could easily serve the Lord, but me, I'm busy. Shepherds could have felt the same way, but they didn't. When they heard the message, it says, let us go and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Even though they were busy, even though they did, others did not believe the story. Look in verse 18. And all that heard it, that is by the shepherds, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And so did you ever try and think, well, I want to talk to so-and-so about the Lord. I want to share my testimony with them, and thinking, they won't believe me anyway. Why bother? The shepherds went and told everybody about the message they had gotten, even though many of them didn't believe it. In fact, when I think about it, do you remember when the wise men came back? Came later, 2 years later? They ask around where the Christ child was born. They didn't know. It wasn't common knowledge. 2 years later, they had forgotten the event completely almost. And they had to go back to the Bible and look and figure out that, yes, the Christ child was supposed to be born in Bethlehem. I almost think that the Herod, who killed all the babies then, believed more than the Jewish people believed that the Messiah came. Because he took seriously the prophecy that was told them that he was supposed to be born in Bethlehem. But the people who lived in Bethlehem had completely forgotten that Jesus was born. It's interesting. We ought to be careful that not let anybody discourage us. Even though, as Ken Ham points out in the video this morning, how the world around us is becoming so secular, don't let that discourage us. Even though others don't believe, You and I should be zealous to celebrate Christmas for the right reason and let others know the real reason for Christmas. At the Christmas party, at least they allowed me to pray for the meal. So as a chaplain there, they asked me if I would say grace. And I thought, at least I'll get the message out in prayer if nobody else is listening to anything else. Truth is we ought to use every opportunity possible in our lives to celebrate and to let others know, even though they may not believe, even though they did not have all the answers. Truth is that the shepherds were not scholars. They were Jewish, of course, and knew that the Messiah was prophesied, but they certainly weren't the scholars of the society. I think it's just interesting to think back of the angels, God choosing the shepherds to announce the greatest event in all the history in the world. He chose the shepherds, the uneducated, unscholarly, biblical scholars. He chose to announce to them. They didn't have all the answers, but they were quick to believe. They were quick to acknowledge in verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They were quick to go. They left their sheep. They, even though they didn't have all the answers, they said, and I understand that this phenomenal event, the shepherds were used to being outside. They were used to spending the night in the fields. And this event was sure unusual for them. So it wasn't a supernatural event. And I understand that, but I wonder if they could have waited till morning, couldn't they? I mean, wouldn't if they had a story when they get back to their friends and say, guess what happened to us during the night? They could have waited till morning. How many times do we put off things that we know we ought to do for God? I'm so excited to see your new member class this morning and to realize that people are making decisions to do right, not putting it off, to say, you know what, we're going to do this. I appreciate that so much. Because so many times we know what we ought to do, but we put it off. I know I should do it. The shepherds didn't wait till morning. And I wonder, have you and I heard the Christmas story and believe it? But most important event of the year, God became a man. What will you and I do with that? With the reality of that story? Does it move us to do anything different this year? Or will it be the same, putting up a Christmas tree, decorating the house, coming to church? Will that all be the same without the enthusiasm, without the excitement that should be there in our lives over the greatest event in all the world? Secondly, not only did the shepherds receive the love of God, they received the story with enthusiasm that we've got to go. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe, just as God foretold it to them. But they also shared the love of God. Look in verse 17. It says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And they were willing to say, you know what? It's true, it's real, and it has changed our lives. They wanted others to know. They told everyone they met. It said they made known abroad the saying. They weren't choosy. I think of the story of the sower and the seed, and I always picture them with like a leaky seed basket. They just spread the seed wherever. Some fell on good ground, some fell on stony ground, but some of it fell on good ground. The shepherds weren't fussy who they told about it. As I thought about this, the shepherds telling everyone, we had some company recently. My wife's sister, Sandy, and her husband came up for a visit from Florida. And really, this is not against anyone else in their family, but no one else wanted them to stay with them when they come up. And they didn't want to stay in a motel. They wanted to stay with family. But they have a cat. I don't hate animals, okay? I don't hate pets. They're okay in someone else's home. We don't have pets. I tell my wife she's my pet. I get some brownie points this morning? No? Oh, I didn't think so. But they're not saved. Craig and Sandy are not believers. And my wife has shared the gospel with them, and they're like, yeah, don't get too pushy. But we thought, you know what? For the gospel's sake, I can put up with a cat in our house for a couple of days. And so they came, stayed for a couple of days with us. They could see how we prayed, how we lived for the Lord. We went out to eat with them, and I didn't want to get real pushy because I know they put up a roadblock as soon as we do that. They had heard the gospel before. But I got the idea that when we were sitting there eating, somehow it came up, and I shared with them how one of my friends got saved. And I thought, telling them the story of how someone else got saved is just as good as sharing the gospel with them pointedly. And it's like, so I shared the gospel of how somebody else got saved and believed that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and their lives were completely changed by believing in the Lord. And I thought, yeah, we got the gospel to them one more time, and they heard the gospel of how to get saved. I wonder this Christmas, what environment, what will you create? What kind of a situation can you create at Christmas time with your neighbors, with your relatives? Plan that opportunity where you can say, you know what? I'm going to create this party. I'm going to invite somebody. I'm going to go to that crazy party that I don't really feel comfortable at, but I know that I can be a witness there. I can somehow create an environment that's conducive. That's a pretty big word. Wow. That creates the environment that I can share the gospel with, and I can be a good witness for the Lord. The shepherds made known abroad the saying which was told them. Tell everyone you meet. Not only did they tell everyone, but they told the same message that they were told. It's easy to be timid about sharing the gospel, isn't it? Because you know the world is not always, they do not always like to hear that we're all sinners. At work, when I'm at work, it seems like everybody thinks everybody else is good people and that they're all fine. And that we just need to have a self-help class, and we'll be fine. But to tell folks that we're actually born sinners and that we're very wicked and our hearts are wicked and desperately, and it says we don't even realize how bad we are until we look into the mirror of the Word of God and let God show us how bad we are. Yeah, it's tempting sometimes to water down the gospel and to make it nice. But the truth is that telling folks we're sinners, believing that it took the shed blood of Jesus Christ to pay the price for our sin, was not always easy. But the shepherds told the same story which they were heard. They didn't water it down, and we ought not either. We ought to be the nicest people in the world. But our message should never change. We should always, the truth of the Word of God should never change in our life. Tell the folks about the Christ child. Tell them about Jesus. They told everyone that the Savior has come. That was the message that they were told. It says, glory to God in the highest. The angel said, and lo, it says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I love that verse. It says, the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, great joy. It's to all people. Good tidings because it was the best news in the world. It is the news that God can forgive us sinners and adopt us into His family. There is no other way. There is. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Most times we don't quote that last part, do we? We always quote, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's great. But Jesus also said, no one comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way. This was the best news in the world to say, now man can be forgiven. Man can be adopted into God's family. It's with great joy. It should bring great joy to us. When we celebrate Christmas, realize that we have been adopted into the family of God. There is no greater joy. Sometimes we forget the awesomeness and the tremendous appreciation and gratitude we should have over Christmas time. I'm going to tell a story. A story that you may have heard before. But sometimes a sometimes I lose the grasp of what God has really done for me. The awesomeness of the forgiveness of God and God taking my place. Sometimes I lose it. It takes another story, an illustration to be able to bring me back to really what God did for me. The story is told of a mountain in the mountains of Virginia that there was a school that no teacher could handle the class. There were rough kids, bad boys, but a young teacher just out of school wanted the job. The school director warned the young teacher, saying, "Listen, there's several teachers who have been run out of the school. They just quit because they couldn't handle it." This young fellow, for whatever reason, decided that he wanted the challenge. And so he appeared for duty one day in school, and the class assembled. And when he stood before the class, one of the big fellows named Tom in the back whispered out loud, "I don't need any help. I can lick this guy myself." Teacher said, "Good morning. We've come to conduct school." The students yelled sarcastically, "Good morning," back to the teacher at the top of their lungs. "Now, I want to be a good school. I want this to be a good school," the teacher said. "And unless you help me, we cannot do that. And suppose we have a few rules. You tell me them rules and I'll write them down." And so they made up a few rules. He wrote them on the blackboard. No stealing, have to be on time, the teacher, and so forth. Teacher said, "Now, rules are no good unless there's a punishment for breaking those rules. What shall we do if one breaks the rules?" One student said, "Beat them across the back 10 times without their coat on." Teacher said, "That's a pretty harsh punishment." But they all agreed that's what they wanted. Well, in a day or so, Big Tom found out that somebody had stolen his lunch. And, of course, word got around that Jimmy had stolen the lunch. And so the next morning, teacher called Jimmy up front of the class and said, "You stole Tom's lunch." The trembling little boy slowly came to the front. And, of course, the rule was you have to take off your coat. And the boy said, Jimmy said, "Listen, you can beat me as hard as you want, as long as you want, but don't make me take my coat off." Teacher said, "That's the rule. We have to obey the rule." And so the little boy started unbuttoning his coat, and the teacher saw that he had no shirt on. And he asked the boy, he said, "Why do you not have a shirt on?" He said, "My father died, and I only have one shirt. My mother's washing the shirt today, and I wore my brother's coat to keep warm." With a sigh, though, the teacher, of course, had to carry out the punishment. But as she was about to bring down the rod on Jimmy, Big Tom jumped up and said, "Teacher, if you don't mind, I'll take Jimmy's punishment." "Very well," the teacher said. "There is a certain law that one can take the punishment for another if you all agree." With the class's consent, Tom removed his coat. After 5 lashes, the rod broke. The teacher bowed his head and said, "How can I finish?" But he started to hear something in the class, and he heard the entire class sobbing. For little Jimmy had reached up and caught Tom with both arms and said, Tom, I'm awfully sorry. Tom, I was so hungry. He said, I love you till the day I die for taking my licking for you, for me. I'll love you forever. Yeah, there is a certain law that one can take the punishment for another. And that's what God did. God took our punishment for us. We deserved hell for our rebellious, sinful heart and life. And God came and took that punishment for you and me. You and I really need to have the joy and gratitude in our heart that little Jimmy did for what God has done for us. We deserve hell, and we should be punished in hell. Even though we're dressed up this morning in nice clothes and we try to act nice, the Bible says our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. We deserve hell. And God provided a way. He said, it's good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You and I have been forgiven and adopted into God's family and made a child of God. And the shepherds rejoiced. And you and I should have that great joy in our heart, just like the shepherds, and share that love with one another and with God, with our neighbors and friends. Mary's response, the hearers, of course, marveled at it and wondered at it. But Mary, it says in verse 19, it says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You and I should do that too. We should continually think on the greatness and the marvelous act of God, a loving act of God to provide salvation. Verse 18 says, and when they heard it, that is the other people, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They wondered about it, but they didn't go. They didn't go see the Christ child, but they told them. And many of the people that we share the story of how God saved us and how God provides salvation, many of the folks we talk to, probably will not change their life. They will not believe on the Lord, even though we may share it in the best of love and kindness and compassion. They may not believe. But that doesn't say we shouldn't share it. You and I need to create the environment over Christmas time. Somehow find somebody, target someone, that we might do like the shepherds, say, I'm going to share the greatest story and the greatest event in all the world. But thirdly, they returned the love of God. Not only did they receive the word of God, they shared the word of God, the love of God. They also received the love of God in worship, or returned the love of God in worship. The shepherds, it says, returned in verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. It said they went back changed. They were still shepherds. They still went back to their sheep, but it says they returned praising and glorifying God. Their work, imagine the thrill. For years, the Jewish people had been looking for a Messiah. They'd been looking for that promised Messiah for years. They told each other, next year. Truth is that the Messiah is coming one of these times. And they believed that. But when it actually happened, life went on. But not for the shepherds. Shepherds, it says, returned glorifying and praising God for all that he had done. For all that they had seen and heard. They said they shared it because they had heard the message, they acted on it, and they were changed. You and I have been changed. You and I, we're still sinners, saved by grace, but you and I have been changed in our hearts, and our celebration of Christmas should be different. The shepherds went back home, but they were still praising God. And you and I, above all people, should be praising God. And should be reminding each other of the story of Christmas. We sing the song, don't we? I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, and Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat. Well, it seems each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing that new song, remember what it says? 'Twill be the old story that I have loved so long. Even in heaven, I believe we'll tell the old story of how Jesus loved us. And Jesus came into the world. But I wonder about that event. How are you going to celebrate Christmas? How are you and I going to make this Christmas different? I hope the shepherds will be a tremendous encouragement to you and me to create some way, to find some way to share the story with a loved one. For us to be excited, it doesn't help. If we're not excited inside, God came to change us from the inside out, didn't he? It's what Ken Ham said in the video this morning. He said, we may shoot at all the problems in the world, and we may fix some of the moral issues in the world, but that doesn't solve the problem, because inside of us is a wicked heart, and we need to be changed inside, which works out. The wicked party I was at last evening only showed the wickedness and sinfulness of mankind. Because what's inside in a person's heart comes out. And so I trust that you and I will have the joy that the shepherds had at Christmas time. And if you're here and you're not a believer in the Christmas story, you're still skeptical about it, why don't you do like the shepherds? Believe it, let it move you to action, to do something, to go and see, and to believe on the Christ child. I trust that this Christmas season, if you're not a believer here today, that this Christmas will be special for you. That you'll be able to look back on it and say, you know what, this is the Christmas that I became a believer. And I accepted the message of the greatest news in all the world, that God became man and became our Savior. But for most of us here today, the question is will you plan on celebrating Christmas this year like the shepherds? Will you find some way to tell someone the story of Christmas who maybe is not a believer? You may plan a party. You may plan to be involved in the church outreach. You may plan to whatever you can do to say, I'm going to find some way to share my faith with others this Christmas season, like the shepherds did. They were convinced, and they didn't care who heard. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the Christ child. And I trust that you and I will celebrate this Christmas in a way that honors the Lord, in a way that shows the joy that deep down in our hearts, not fake, but real, because we understand Christ took the whipping for us. And we ought to throw our arms around him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking our punishment for us. Thank you for coming into the world at Christmas time. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy of Christmas. May we celebrate it afresh this Christmas season and say, thank you, God. Thank you so much for taking our punishment. We deserved it. We don't deserve your mercy and grace and adoption into your family, but you did it because you loved us. Thank you. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that has not yet made that step of faith, that this Christmas would be the Christmas they do it. Don't put it off. Pray, Lord, for them. And pray for us that our hearts might be changed like the shepherds, to have the joy and celebration of the good news of salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.